Hey, Bart, we are back.
Yes. Good evening, Vicky.
I know. We had to record at night instead of our normal morning.
Yeah, a friend of mine was making fun of me a couple weeks ago. It's like, do you guys just always record in the morning? Like, why didn't you name it, like, Good Morning Something?
Well, that's just because you and I are both busy, and it's the only time we can actually get together. Because
yeah.
I record another podcast, and we tend to record, well, in between Ken and me, we tend to record 3 podcasts on Saturday. Mm-hmm.
Well, more than that sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, actually, it's going to be 4 now because we moved the one to Saturday.
Yeah.
So we're looking at 4 because he's got to record tonight, too. We recorded already today. I've got this one, and then he's got one tonight.
And he had one yesterday.
Yes. And I was there.
Oh, jeez. It's going to be busy, busy, busy.
Always, always, always.
Before yes.
For not podcasting, I'm getting ready for all my art shows, which I have one when this drops a few days after this one.
Yes.
Oh.
And speaking of, welcome to all the new listeners that we got from, whether you heard from us elsewhere or you heard from us from our business card at Oddmall.
Yes.
I saw that we got a bunch of new followers this week.
And if you guys like the little aliens, let us know. We did have something special in the swag bag Saturday and Sunday.
Yes. And if you were lucky enough to get there right when the show opened.
Yeah,
those bags went within like the first minute on both days.
They went really, really quick. And it took me over an hour between Robin and me. It took us over an hour each day to make them. Over an hour's worth of work gone in 2 minutes flat.
Yeah. But I did see a lot of people wandering around with them, so that's good.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully, listeners, you were one of them.
They were cute. Maybe we're going to have to do it again. Have to get some more like that. That would be
fun. At the price of finding those, that was a good deal.
They were really, really cute, I thought. I really liked them. We're going to have, like I said, we're going to have to see if I can find more like that.
They're out there somewhere. We'll just watch the skies.
I'm sitting here with a dog unconscious in my lap and my hand's going to sleep on me. I guess 3 hours of shopping tuckered her out.
Well, this week we're talking about something that I actually got to watch the documentary while we were putting together stuff for those bags.
Yes. We are going to be talking about somewhere I would like to go, but Bridgewater Triangle in Massachusetts. If you've seen the document, Terry, I'd say go get it, buy it. I'm sure you can find it anywhere.
Absolutely.
Bridgewater Triangle. There's some very, in a very small area, this, just the amount of stuff that's happened is insane. I can see why it's the name of Triangle.
Yeah, I would say this is the real life Erie, Indiana. If anybody remembers that show from the 90s, I hope you don't, because I wish I didn't either.
I mean, they've had anything from, well, we're going to get more into this, but from like UFOs to Bigfoots to what, big cats and ghosts and cult activities and crazy murders and, I mean, just insane stuff in just a short little area. Because it's only, what, approximately 200 square miles?
Yeah, it is not very long. In fact, where's the map here? Oh, the map's not going to show up for me on there.
Yeah,
that's
no,
nice.
It doesn't. The map itself, it doesn't look very big at all.
No, it isn't. And actually, according to the documentary, it's not even really a triangle.
But triangle sounds scarier.
Yes, but it's like, it's what's inside the triangle, but the weirdness spreads out to past the triangle.
Yes, we saw that with some of the stories in the documentary. There's just sightings all over the place. Just, it's kind of interesting. Lots and lots of unexplained activity.
Yes. And it apparently the activity started sometime in a time that I apparently had in front of me and now I don't. during King Philip's War.
Now that's that's when the first stuff. Well, there was stuff before that, but that was like the main thing.
When people really started noticing, and the amount of death during that time period, many have believed that that's what started a lot of the things that came after.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I know there's been a lot of books and different stories and stuff written on this. Lauren Coleman, he's written a bunch about this, and he actually did the documentary that you and I watched.
Yes.
His
book was Mysterious America.
I know that there was some mysterious carvings on rocks. That was another one that they don't know who wrote it. They don't know anything, if it was Native Americans or Europeans, or not really sure what it was either.
Well, and it's hard to tell based on the language that was written. It's all in English. Like a combination. It's almost like Middle English.
Well, the one that they don't know what it is. Like the closest thing, they think some of the smiley faces could have been Native American, but they're not really sure. The history of the Bridgewater Triangle is a dark one. This area of southeastern Massachusetts has always been a magnet for high strangeness, evil, bad fortune, and mysterious events. Suicides, horrific car accidents, mysterious drownings, explosively violent murders plague this area. Hauntings are common. Strange creatures roam its woods. Talks about the rocks. They dot the landscape. The Bridgewater Triangle seems to be a window into another plane of existence where just about anything can climb through. Reports of run-ins with UFOs, entities both human and inhuman. We got cryptic creatures and animals that simply do not belong. I know with the thingy they were talking about, like the really big cats.
Yes.
And they found the one African cat headless? The one body that they found? And like the cat wouldn't have been that big? Because I know the ones they were talking about, it seemed like a black cougar or something.
I don't remember that other cat, but I remember the cougar.
Yeah, because they had the one that was like a cougar. They had another one that was like a black cat. And then they had another one, like the really giant wolf, like the really big wolves. But the one was, is it a serval? It's a spotted cat. It's got real long legs and it's spotted, but they found a body of one headless. Let's see what else is it talks about. Some of the county's most puzzling stone structures and sites appear in and around the area, which is this is what you were talking about, how it's not everything is in that triangle.
Correct. Yeah.
Mysterious boulders with strange carvings. Not gonna try to because this one there's a rock and then there's the rune rock. Ancient sites such as King Philip's cave. And structures. Structures such as Mysterious Tower, Newport, Rhode Island. But we've talked about stuff like this in the past, where it's like stuff, it's, who knows how many times we've been rewritten. I think a lot of this stuff we don't remember.
I think that's it. I think it's just, we choose not to talk about it, and then it doesn't get passed down.
If nobody remembers, like we were talking about how, like, you know, if an EMP would go off, nobody would know anything.
In a
very short time. Speaking
well,
of...
and some of the stuff, like, I was in a show that I was just listening to this morning. The guy was saying, you know, he's still getting reports of different demons and demon encounters, stuff that happened like 15, 20 years ago, because no one ever really wanted to talk about it for fear that they would just sound crazy.
Right, right.
And that's exactly what this is, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's like
people just don't want to talk about it because they're going to sound crazy.
Right, and that's in the time frame where people, you know, you go back how many generations and people would talk about it.
Yes.
You know, you're getting what, like the shamans and things like that. So they're used to, or the priests, they're used to talking about that and dealing with that kind of stuff. So, but there we talk about large animals. They also have Thunderbird sightings. They describe a creature as having black feathers and a wingspan up to 12 feet, though thunderbirds across the country have been seen with a wingspan of up to 25 feet.
And that's just, I mean, that's just freaky. If I were to see something like that, I wouldn't know what to do.
Well, and the one thing with that is if something's that big, and I've heard in the past, it's difficult to judge size if it's up in the air or not. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but how far up in the air, too?
Is it in the air or is it on the ground?
Exactly. Like if I were looking up in the sky and seeing a hawk, I could safely guess how big it is.
Because I know I've seen like videos of stuff of people saying, you know, that this was a thunderbird, but it was kind of difficult to judge it. Because I know condors can get huge.
Oh yeah.
But these, it sounds, you know, these are even bigger. You know, or this, is this something that's like left over from like the ice age or something? It's that big, then they're gonna have to roost. Are they breeding? I mean, you would think, I don't know.
Or is it the result of breeding?
What you think, like, what they consider like Skinwalker Ranch, where animals are being experimented on?
Exactly.
It's an idea, but I mean, they're finding new stuff all the time. But then again, this kind of also falls into is this like the whole thing where, you know, it's from like another dimension type thing. It comes in, it comes out. But talking about that, and there's also an area in it they call as the Hockomock Swamp. They also have seen Bigfoot in there, which we were just
And then,
talk.
yeah, the go ahead.
I was gonna say we were just talking about how small this area is, and they find Bigfoot because you know supposedly they need a whole large range to go, but there's really no area for it to really roam. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and that swamp has been said to have, more than just Bigfoot. All of these different types of creatures have been found in that swamp area.
The giant cats, the black cats, the giant wolves, Bigfoot, the birds, the ghosts, you know, like this one. Yeah, because there's some people in here, the one I'm reading now, they're talking about how they've, you know, spent the past, because if you get the documentary, they go into all of this, just the crazy, crazy things. But here, Hockomock, the Indian word means the evil spirit place or haunted place. I guess that kind of sums up this place. You
Oh,
know,
yeah.
are these actual creatures or is this demonic? Is these the demons that, you know what I mean? That take what form they want.
And if you look back again, back at the history of, talking again about King Philip's War, it was one of the bloodiest wars in that area. And where did it end? In that swamp.
Which would be another why it would fall into the evil place, or you know, we were talking about the bad luck and some other ones.
Yeah, and that swamp may have been the source of the bad luck to begin with, but a bloody war full of hatred could only do nothing but fuel the evil that's already in that area.
And see, I'm wondering if some of this has been also misidentified. Because I know the one guy said that he was on one side of the swamp and he could see across and see something moving and then it was gone. Could that just have been another person? Because I mean, if this place has like a lot of deer and things like that, could there be people hunting?
Absolutely. And I do think that's the case because when he said he got to the other side, no one was there. And he looked across and saw someone and decided to go all over there. And then it was, no one was there. Well, yeah, because the person moved.
If they're hunting and they're on a trail, You know, they're going to. Well, that was like the one lady in the documentary. She said she was on one side, saw fire, went over where the fire was, and it was nobody there. That almost leads me to believe, did she go all the way to where she saw the fire? Did she only make it halfway? Because if you're walking around at night, it's gonna be kind of hard to get to where, you know, get to this specific place.
Yeah.
Because even with this, it looks like they've just had like glimpses of stuff moving.
And it's not exactly like, oh, I'll GPS my way to where I'm trying to get to. You know, you're trying to get from one point that you see to another. You could easily get lost, especially if you're crossing a river.
Well, because that's like even here. You know, it's so easy to go off trail and get lost. But they've also got, I talk about the ghosts and stuff. You had mentioned the war. What do you know about that?
There's not, I don't know. Did they say anything about it in the documentary
Yeah.
about any ghosts still living from that time?
Yeah, the one lady, she saw an older guy's face, Native American, and
That's right, that's right. And that has been mentioned by several people over time.
that I'm wondering if that wasn't a forest spirit, because that they also talked about the lady in white that they've seen, and that one area where I think where King Philip was, where they killed him, maybe it's his rock.
Yes.
They've seen the ghost lights and of like torches, and they've seen people and stuff up there. But I think Eric.
Well, and I don't remember exactly, and this is just from what I'm getting from this article, one of those rocks that have the engraving on them was in the area where he died.
That there was two profile rocks. One was of like a Native American guy, and then the one was a female. But I think the
Yes.
female has eroded. They said that it has eroded away. But talking about like the haunted places, I think like there's more and more, I guess in a way, cursed. Maybe that the area is cursed because of just how bloody America was with, you know, what was done with the Native Americans. You know, when the Europeans came over.
And I mean, you could say that about any place that there's been a war in America. But it's something about this place that it's just continued over time.
I think it's just because there was like I could see like one area. Okay, this place is haunted, or you can go to such place and you could see what they consider like ghost lights, or you see UFOs. But I think what it is because this area is so small, it's so like I guess in a way it's old, but the fact that it has all of this, it's happened. You know, from point A to point B, it's still going on in this small area. It's insane. Like I'm flipping down through here even more. There's even been anaconda sized snakes, giant monster black dogs. So there's been big black dogs and not just the black cats. It just seems this area has everything.
And that's it, kind of confusing in some ways. Like, I can see the large demonic animals. I can see the ghosts. You know, some of that stuff makes sense. But then you have, why are there so many Bigfoot sightings?
And then you throw into the satanic cults, the priestesses of voodoo, witchcraft.
UFOs.
Exactly.
Some of
So
this stuff just have no relation to evil spirits and, you know, evil in general. Bigfoot is a peaceful creature. Why is he thrown in with all this? Why are UFOs thrown in with all of
Well, and the
this?
thing with Bigfoot
There
is,
is something definitely more than just there's, you know, spirits
well,
hanging around.
and not, and it depends, because not all the stories about Bigfoot are friendly. You know, like some, you know, if it's just like anything else, I guess you can get nice and you can get not so nice. I guess it just depends.
Yeah, but the not so nice is more of a, I'm defending my property. You know, it's just the primal urge of a creature, not necessarily it's got dark black eyes, and it's ready to cut your throat open.
See, and you know what I'm almost wondering with this area, if because of where it's at, if it's got such a strong, like, magnetic field.
That could be too.
That if you throw in, like the satanic, that kind of stuff, where you're opening up portals,
ley lines.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I was gonna say if you take the ley lines, but if you open up a portal, what the hell are you releasing? That could be where they're getting not saying like the Bigfoot, but like the giant dogs, all that stuff. Like you were saying, that's the demonic stuff that they've been releasing.
Yeah.
That would make sense. Because I know in the thing that they found, what was it, the 80s, they found all those dead calves. And some of them were in, like, they were in different progression of decay. But to me, that almost strikes me back then as it was a dairy farm where they got rid of the babies.
Yes.
Because I know that, didn't they say they found, like, what was it? Like, chickens and stuff like that they found that looked like it was, they were sacrificed and a few other stuff.
And half of that could be sacrificed again. Half of that could be a farmer.
I'm leaning with the calves being more maybe a farmer dropped them off. Like, no different here. If somebody hits a deer, they just take it and dump it in the woods.
Yes.
This one, they were talking about, like, the spook lights. That could be spirits. Or I'm almost thinking more of, like, the electrical, like, the ion charge type things. But, yeah, I'm almost wondering if this place is highly, like we were saying, somebody opened up something they shouldn't have.
Well, and there was one event in the documentary, as the guy was talking, he was saying, you know, there's definitely something around here.
Oh yeah, he was saying, he was talking to King Philip himself, and he said that if I had your, you know, the belt, I would have give it to you. And the moment he said that, the light popped. The guy put a new battery in it, and it popped. So
that could very like that could very well relate be related to there's a lot of magnetic energy around.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. And so, you know, as it grows, it stops certain things from happening. You know, the EVP meters start going crazy. The, you know, cameras stop working. Things that would normally happen during a supernatural event could also just be related to the fact that there's so much energy hanging around.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I think a lot of times that an area will get imprinted with something like that, like a really strong event, strong magnetic, it gets imprinted basically like what I would think of like an old record player.
Yes.
The record gets imprinted. I think that that's what a lot of this is. And then, you know, you throw in, you know, everything else, you know, demons and stuff. And I think make anybody go kind of crazy. Cause like here, they're talking about like the neighborhood kids often talk about feeling watched in the woods and hearing something, bullying through the forest, knocking down trees. We've also heard of people actually hearing loud blood curdling screams. That actually, to me, that could be just teenagers screwing around, too.
Oh, yeah.
Because, well, we know sound can echo. And if they were up on those ledges where they say that they see the lady in white, then that's possible. It wasn't until, let's see, there were some friends that experienced for themselves, along with a whole slew of other phenomenon, disemboweled voices,
Sorry.
Trees being thrown at them in the woods, and what looked like large human footprints in the cornfields, ghostly forms, strange lights, and strange speaking sound that seemed to be coming from a plastic toy, a Native American head that seemed to respond to questions and things we're saying, called activity, you name it. That sounds like a demon to me.
Yes.
That sounds like a demon that just got into the toy and was screwing with it. Got just learned what its name is.
I'm sorry?
The demon just gotta learn what the demon's name is.
Exactly,
Sh
yes.
ship it back home. Let's see, yeah, they're just. I have never seen one little area that's had this much variety of activity. Like, this is just crazy. So I know that they've spotted black, what was it, black helicopters.
Black helicopters and UFOs. And the UFO sightings have been going back to the 60s and 70s.
Which that's when everybody was seeing stuff and stuff was crashing and making amok. I think that's all mi I think that's all military myself.
Well, in 72, they had a mass sighting all throughout the area.
Well, we have a couple areas here I want to check out and go see our own UFOs. Because we, if you look at this stuff, we have similar stuff here too, but it's in a much larger area.
Yes.
It's a much larger area that we've had this. Basically, from what would you say about Akron to, I would say, if we could do our own triangle here, it'd probably be Akron, Youngstown, up to Cleveland in that triangle area, because that's where we've had pretty much all of this. We've had a bit of sacrifices and stuff like that a few years ago.
Probably not as big as it was here in Massachusetts, but still, yes.
Different time. This was back in the 80s. A lot of this was back in the 80s. So.
Well, and that's the problem too. Back in the 80s and 90s, that was when the Satanic Panic was happening full force.
Right. Everybody was scared of everything. And a lot of people now, they're just more or less get offended by everything.
Yes.
Nothing, they don't get shocked by stuff anymore. They just get offended by everything.
They get offended, and I'm going to kill you for what you said.
And oops, the wrong person.
Yeah.
My stuff's going slow.
FK minus two, so.
Here's one. Talk about ghost stories. The redheaded hitchhiker. We can just touch on these. They talked about this in the movie too. The different ghost stories and stuff. Oh, this one where the was a old schoolhouse. The lady walked up, thinking that looked in the window and thinking
Oh, yes.
that it was looked in and saw a teacher with the kids and thought it was just
It was a reenactment.
right, and went around the door, couldn't get in, and then came back around, looked in the window, and they looked at her and disappeared. That would be kind of creepy.
Well, and the teacher was scolding her too as she disappeared, I believe.
She interrupted her class. I would be mad too. That almost striked me as a time slip.
Yes.
Because I've heard other similar things, and that almost striked me as a time slip. Because we all know time really doesn't go straight, I don't think. I don't think you can go forwards. I think, like they say, it's backwards. That's another theory. Have you heard that one with time?
No.
We have, you have. Can't really go into the future because the future isn't established yet, but you can go in the
Yes.
past
Oh,
because
yes.
the past is established, so you can go back. That's why it seems like a lot of the time slips people seem to experience are the past. I don't really hear of anybody having future slips, you know what I mean? Going to the future. I mean, there's some that say, you know, that they were abducted and brought to 2131 or whatever, or some crazy time. I think that the ones that s can see into the future, they could see the possibility, not the actual this happened, but this could happen if you follow on this trail.
And again, really, that the people who say they saw the future and they're going to do exactly what they saw in the future, well, then they are just following the possibilities. And because they followed the possibilities, it happened. And
But
you appear to have, there you are.
no, sorry. I'm just it's just it just wrapping my brain around this is just crazy. It makes you wonder a lot. I think that it's something from the future we don't really know. Like it's something that the past that people might have known. I'm sure this is stuff like the Druids and some of the other ones that were more spiritual connected that they knew. I don't know. Something that I would love to dig into, but I don't know, wouldn't really know where to start.
Well, and with this area, there is so much. You can't really start with one thing because you have so many others.
And we already know there's always connection to other stuff. Yeah, there's just it's just some interesting things. If anyone's interested in digging in more of this, I say go get the DVD. The DVD was it was really interesting. Just
And if you can't afford to hunt down the DVD, if you have Amazon Prime, it's already on there for right now. So really, you have no excuse. If this when you listen to this episode, go get some dinner, sit down, watch the documentary.
usually what I do. I'm always watching them. But yeah, it's it when it comes to like the time and the ghosts and the hauntings and stuff, a lot of it may, and like I said, it kind of makes me wonder what, I mean, I know we'll never find out what it is. We'll never learn the actual truth, but it does make you wonder. I'm sure that the people from the past knew more than what we know now when it comes to this stuff.
I think the people, I think over time it's just, we've been told we're mad. So, there's no reason to believe it.
Well, you had to think that there was a time to that when that would put you into an asylum. You know, if you didn't.
And now they don't put you in asylums, they just let you on the internet.
Yep. Hey, some of the conspiracy theories are interesting. Kind of scary at the same time, but it's interesting.
Yes.
Yeah, there's. And this one I found too. These are a couple different stories that we found. If you go on the Bridgewater Triangle documentary.com, people have posted stories. Now, granted, some of these are old, but they're still super kind of creepy cool. Let's see. Let's see. This one is from January 26, 2015. A few years ago, I would drive by this small old graveyard that was on the side of the road in Bridgewater. I forgot that the street name. I forgot what the street name was called, but if you get off Route 44 and take the road that has the camp and you head towards Bridgewater State University, there's a graveyard there. Anyways, I've had a few encounters at that gravesite. One, for instance, was I was heading towards Route 44 and I was coming up from the graveyard and I had seen a body figure walking across the street. It was at night, so I slowed down, and when I got closer to the person, and when I saw the figure as I got closer, I noticed he had no head, and this body crossed the road. He disappeared into the grassland. My question is, has there ever been any reports of a headless man? Interesting. Huh. Ghost?
Very well.
Ah, my husband and I bought a home in West Bridgewater a year and a half ago, and have recently experienced a sighting in our home. I have had small instances where lights have been turned on that are not plugged in, cabinets being opened, and I didn't think much of it at the time. A few nights ago, I woke up in the middle of the night and saw a shadow of a man standing at the end of my bed. I have never seen anything like it before. I woke up my husband to look at the shadow had disappeared. I felt scared and crazy that he couldn't see what I just saw. I haven't seen the shadow since, but I'm interested in thinking, looking in into the pre yeah, she needs to look into what happened in that area. I mean, we already know of the wars and stuff, so that might be. It could be somebody from previous, could have been someone that died on that land.
Oh, yeah.
It could be something completely different on top of that. Let's see.
But here's a story from beginning of 2014. Summer of 1974, I was 14 years old, and my family was living on Harvard Street, in a development built just off of North Street in Bridgewater. My friend lived at the top of Harvard Street, and she walked me as far as the corner of Brown and Harvard. At the corner were the power tower lines that stretched across the state. If you walked down Brown Avenue, you'd hit the short street called Colby, and behind Colby were acres of the Hockomock Swamp. I'm guessing it was probably sometime around 11 p.m. because it was summertime. So this incredible bright light in the sky, blinding, just sitting there. We just kept staring at it in a trance, and then it quickly disappeared. As two teenage girls would, we freaked out and were talking a mile a minute. Then suddenly there's this huge wind that nearly swept us off our feet, and as fast as it came, it was gone. We decided we should run toward her house, and we should run toward her house and me toward mine, and recall each other until we were safely home inside. I remember telling whoever was in my house, and then I decided to call the local police. I don't recall what was said. I only remember them telling me to call the West Bridgewater police because they had gotten similar reports early on that evening.
Well, I know there was,
and that was actually after the mass UFO sighting. If that was 1974.
Well, I know there was another one where the guy, it was what, about 20 years ago, that was in the movie. He said that, you know, he worked late shift and he'd come home about midnight and he'd take his dog on a walk. And normally he went down, what, the path, but then he decided to take the path behind his house. And when he did, she panicked, you know, sat down, didn't want to go anywhere. And he heard a sound and the light that was like, what, on the street? This creature come out was, what, 3 or 4 feet tall? And it starts coming out and beckoning him. The dog was scared and he rushed home.
The little gremlin type creature.
Yeah, was that a Bigfoot? Was that like that? I'm like, I heard that. I've heard this story a few times, but I'm like, I wanted to make a short film about it. But can you like, what else? Because I mean, there were so many different stories that people thought that was. You know, was that, you know, was it a baby Bigfoot? Was it a spirit? Or was that something completely different? You know, it could have been like, what do they call, like a goblin or something? Well, no.
Yeah.
I don't think they were thinking it was a goblin, but one of those spirits, you know, come to me type thing. But that almost sounded, did that sound like, almost like broken Native American to you?
It did, yes.
I mean, it sounded creepy, but this whole area has just been crazy creepy in general. It's just flipping through the stories right here. There's some interesting stuff.
And they all seem to have happened between the 70s and today. So that's definitely the big hot spot for a lot of these that people are still talking about.
So is this just more people going into the area and it's always been here? Or...
Well, you got the one that I just read that they had just moved there and they experienced it.
See, and that's another thing did something happen before then, like I said, opened up a portal, opened up stuff to, you know, opened it up to really start, you know, happening. But yeah, if we had time. I think this would be a fun place to take a road trip.
Oh, yeah.
You want to read a couple more of these stories?
There's one at the very bottom. It looks interesting. My family has lived in southern Massachusetts since 1711, specifically in Hanson, but also the surrounding areas.
Bert, I think they're coming to get you.
Yeah, I hear it. That's the problem of living next to the hospital. My family has claimed to see a few UFO sightings. An uncle of mine saw one when he was a kid in 1957. He said it was in the shape of a cigar, and it flew so fast there wasn't any time to get someone to point it out. My mother also mentioned as a kid being told there were some sort of symbols left on some small pine trees in a grove that was near where she was growing up, but nobody could ever figure out what they were. I know there were many sightings in the area, specifically in 1969. A friend of mine's mother got up early one morning to make her husband's breakfast to discover a huge green light in her bay window of her living room that hovered for what seemed forever, she said. Southern Massachusetts in general has some bizarre energy hovering around it. People in the area act on some strange ideas around here. I know of more than a few murders, Mary Lou Arunda in the 80s, Shirley Garudy from Halifax around 15 years ago. Also, Ruth Masters in Miles Standish State Park in Plymouth in 1977. A relative of mine from Kingston in the 30s was brutally raped. I could go on. The energy here makes people pretty crazy at times. More crazy than the other places, I think. They say water conducts in motion. Most of the South Shore is on swampland, so some of it makes sense. Even in the 1700s, the brutal King Philip War, in which the Indians almost won. Rather bizarre circumstances. So that right there, even this guy's pointing out, hey, you know, there's, you know, energy going around, and it's centering in the swamp area where there's water.
But yeah, I'm almost wondering if somebody didn't open up something they shouldn't have. And it just keeps spilling out and spilling out and spilling out. That's why, you know, things are ramping up more and more. But yeah, I just can't believe the amount of stuff in this little area. Just these full stories.
I'm kind of curious. Yeah, I'm kind of curious how many more areas in the United States are like this. Like specifically, maybe not a triangle shape, but there's a specific area in the state that encompasses all of this mystical energy. And all of these experiences occur in this specific spot.
Typing and it's dark. I can't see very well. So
turn on a light.
I got a sleeping dog in my lap. I don't want to wake her up. I'll dump her. Let's see. One area. I want to do Ohio.
I'm sorry?
Let's do crazy stories in one area in Ohio. Oh, yeah. We got Weird Ohio. A urban legends from Ohio.
And Weird Ohio actually is a good source for a lot of that. Mm-hmm. Weird U.S. in general is.
Let's see. 8 urban legends in Ohio that are strange, disturbing, and terrifying. We've got the Lizard Man. Along the Miami River near Loveland, legend has it that there lurks a man who looks a lot like a lizard, or a lizard who looks a lot like a man, depending on how you look at it, of course. In the 70s, local residents and policemen reported sightings of a strange lizard or frog-like man. Throughout the years, occasional sightings along the river have been reported. We got Helltown, which I think that's one of the ones we're going to go to.
Yes.
Crybaby Bridge, which I think that there's like one every, like, I don't know, handful of feet, it seems.
Yeah, so that one's kind of not necessarily local as just common.
Walhalla Road, it's in North Columbus. This is out of place holler region. Is the road in which a Dr. Maroney once lived on with his wife and children in one of the homes high atop the road sometime in the 50s. Dr. Mooney supposedly murdered his wife, and legend has it that in the middle of the night, his ghost reenacts his crime. Lake Hope Furnace. Stories of a lonely watchman who still shows up for work on dark, stormy evenings at this decaying iron furnace in Lake Hope State Park are simply too common for comfort. Or orphanage. Okay. This gets me into this one, because we're approaching our year anniversary, and we're going to be doing this for our special, for our first year anniversary. Let's see. In the 1800s, Gore Orphanage was mysteriously destroyed by a fire, with all the children and employees in it. Theories of how the fire was started include accidents, Mr. Gore himself, an employee, or an escaped mental patient. Supposedly, if you travel to the location at midnight, you will hear the screams of the burning children. It has also been reported that once parked, a car will not start, and it will have to be pushed off the site. I think we're going to have some fun here.
Yeah.
Because we have contacts that knows all about this stuff. It was all about this the orphanage, so they're going to help us. Beaver Creek State Park. Within this park, near East Liverpool in Columbiana County, is the ruins of part of the canal system built in the early 1800s. Two of the canal locks are said to be haunted by canal workers with lanterns who died on the job. From what I get, building the locks, there's like, I think I've been told, like, an Irishman buried every so many feet or yards or whatever, because, you know, it was backbreaking. We have several here by us. And, of course, you know this one, the Ohio State Reformatory.
Absolutely. My parents just went on a ghost hunt there this past Halloween, thanks to the Northeast Ohio Ghostbusters.
You said that did they find anything or did they?
This time around, they did not find anything because it has been cl so cleaned up. In fact, that would explain the recent extreme rise in cost of tickets to the ghost hunts there, because they have cleaned, probably just to reimburse the reformatory for all the work that's been done. Because, like I said, they couldn't find anything, whereas previous trips they've taken, they came up with a bunch of stuff.
I have never, like, I've driven past it a few times, but I've never actually driven, like, been in it.
I went on a tour as a kid, but it was the public part. It was when they first reopened, because they were selling a lot of the stuff that was there from when they filmed Shawshank there.
Oh, speaking of that, did you hear the tree is gone? It got struck by lightning.
Oh, wow.
I'm posting a picture of the pup that's out cold as I'm recording. She's barely. Oh! Speak of the devil, she's awake now. Something just woke her up. That's funny. She's been out the entire time that we started recording, and then something woke her up. She just took off. Yeah, there's some crazy things even in our backyard, which we plan on exploring more once we actually get a chance.
Yeah, this summer's going to be busy, but we're going to try to get a couple, at least one hunt in before our anniversary.
Well, we might actually be able to get a few more things because, with our contact, they said that there's a bunch of stuff like in the area.
Yeah.
So we're probably gonna take and make it an all day trip and, get a few locations and some stories and stuff. I think that's a good note to skedaddle on.
Absolutely.
I'm gonna go find out where the mutt ran off to. But yeah, we don't have to record at night with our name. You can let your friends know. That's why we talk about the crazy stuff, because well, we don't have to record at night.
Also, recording at night when it's dark just makes it even creepier talking about it.
Well, you and I are so busy, we don't always have time. So we just record when we can, basically. Just leading very busy lives, because I have many art shows coming up back to back. So we'll look up some more of those stories and. Everybody, go get the Bridgewater Triangle documentary.
Absolutely.
Go get it. Liking and buying and supporting this kind of stuff is a good thing.
It's one thing to listen, you're getting to hear all this stuff on free podcasts, but neither us nor you can get any of that information if the people who are doing the major research, writing the books, filming the documentaries don't have the money to do that.
And Lauren Coleman's got a lot of books and stuff out on
Absolutely.
a lot of these topics.
In fact, was it the Bridgewater one that you bought at the Moth, not at the Mothman, at the Minerva Monster Festival?
Yes, I got it from him. Yep. And I got another book for him. I have a stack of monster books right now. I haven't even had a chance to read. Ken says I need to break down and just start listening to the ones I can,
On audio.
Yeah, I might have to. Because I
That's
just.
the way a couple novels that I really want to read. I think I'm going to have to try to find those
Because
on audio.
I haven't had time. I just saw somebody selling their collection of monster books, and I'm like, oh, that would be awesome to have some of those.
Absolutely. Well, that's why you just keep buying them, and then you have your own library. And when someone is looking for information, you can just go to the shelf and say, "Here, this is what I have."
I have a nice library. Granted, it's mostly Star Wars, but I
That's
have
why you just keep adding more.
that
And it
is.
doesn't matter, as somebody told me last week at Odd Mall, you can always buy more shelves. But you can't always get those books back that you have to get rid of.
That's very, very, very true.
Granted, I was told this by an author who was trying to sell his book.
Was that Marcus? No, that wasn't
No,
Marcus.
it was not Marcus.
But that's actually quite true. Once something gets to a certain age, you can't get it anymore.
Exactly.
You can't get it anymore.
So it's
All
always
right.
good to keep it till the end of time.
All righty. I guess I'm gonna say I'll talk to you later, Bart.
Absolutely. I will talk to you later.
Of course, you guys like, give us stars, let us know, you know, on everywhere that you can like us and star. You can email us. We're on Twitter, Facebook. We'll post all these links that we have, where you can get the DVD. We'll post it on Facebook. You know, we're with Tangent Bound. We're with Weebie Geeks. So, yeah, we want to hear stories. Have you seen stuff like this? Do you live near Bridgewater? Do you have your own stories? Hey, let us know. We're both very curious about stuff like this. Do you have an opinion about time? You know, let us know. I would like to hear and sit down and talk to people about stuff like this.
Absolutely. And as we were recording, I was checking my email and I got an email that said we had 16 new likes on Facebook just in the last week.
It's fantastic. Yeah.
So any of you guys who just found us, you know, tell us what you think of the show. If you've only listened to a couple episodes, what do you think? Or if you have, like Vicky just said, if you have your own stories, you know, send them to us on Facebook.
Yeah, because, I mean, this is kind of how Tales from the Darkness was born. You and I were talking about stuff like this. I mean, it makes you wonder. It makes you think a lot. Which is what I like. So, okay. Everybody, stay safe. Till next time. And we have a lot in the works coming up. And now that it's starting to get warmer, we are going to have a lot of stuff that we're planning for this summer. So, I will catch you later, Bart.
Catch you later.